This is The Ignition Point, Clinton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is an interview with our new upper school guidance counselor, Lauren White. So she's going to talk a little bit about her first couple weeks at school, as well as some of the things she's looking forward to this year. And we wanted to take this opportunity for you to just to get to know her being new to our community. So now we join the podcast with Lauren White and your host, Kendall Terry. We'd like to welcome to the podcast today, Lauren White. She is our upper school guidance counselor, new to CBA, and I want to give her a chance to introduce herself to you guys that are listening, but also to talk a little bit about this position and kind of her transition into Clayton Bradley Academy. So first, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And let's start by just giving a little bit of background of who you are and kind of introduce yourself to people that are listening, and then we'll get into the other stuff.
Okay. Gosh, there's so much I could say about how I got to here. But most recently, I've spent the last 12 years at Central High School in Knoxville. Love my time there. Prior to that, I was finishing up my studies and a year at William Blount. But it was a journey to get here, I guess, as we all have a journey.
Yeah.
So I did a, right out of college, undergrad, I did a year in nonprofit.
Okay.
I did a year small business, and then I did a year of corporate. And it was
Yeah,
that third and final year, I was like, I got to figure out what I really want to do in life. This is not working. But then I really just started thinking about, like, what am I good at and what do I love? And everything just kind of pointed towards school counseling. So
yeah,
that's when I started that process. And so I've never regretted it. It's always been, it's become a passion. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's always good when you talk to people about, and you can see it, you can see it in your face just now. People listening yeah. couldn't see it, but kind of the light that they get of when they start talking about, like, what they've really
yeah.
you know, decided on, and it's something you can see they love doing, they mm-hmm. enjoy doing it. You can see it on their face when they're talking about it. And so
yeah.
that was obvious for me sitting here. It might not be for those listening. They might have heard it in your voice. But it was, you know,
yeah.
it's cool to kind of land in that place that that yeah. we feel comfortable, that we love going to work, that we love doing what we're doing.
Exactly.
And so you worked for a while in public ed, and then, you know, we've now made the transition over into independent school world,
yeah.
Which is a little different.
But
so what, you know, what caused you to submit that application, maybe, or however you came about knowing that there was a job opening here?
Sure, yeah, that's also a bit of a story, if you don't mind a little
no,
bit
go
of
ahead.
Length there. So, well, first of all, I'm not unaware of private school. I'm actually a product of private school.
Oh, okay.
I went to a small private school in Nashville and made the transition over here when I went to college. So I've been in that from the student side, so hopefully that'll help me relate to the students here a little bit
yeah.
more. So I guess it all started with my oldest son, who is now in fourth grade. We've been in going to a public school locally and had a great experience. It's just very large
yeah.
and just knew, you know, working with students that not every school is the best fit for a kid. So we started looking because he was finishing up his time at that elementary school. And I've known about Clayton Bradley probably since the time that they opened, because I was kind of starting my career then as well.
Okay.
The former principal, Brad, Mr. R, I ran into him when I was doing my studies, and he was just so kind, and he made an impression on me. So I kind of kept tabs on him a little bit, if I'm being honest. And I knew he had made his way over here, and so, and then I had a family friend who was a teacher here, and who else? And then, oh, and then as I was working at Central, I met a coworker who
yeah.
Started to go through the process of sending her child here
yeah.
From another public school system.
And one of our alumni now.
And
so
one of our alums.
To see her go
graduated
on and do
last
great
year. Yeah. So I kind of got to walk through the process with her. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of been the background, honestly. And then, so when we were looking at another school, possibly for my son, who, again, he's a little more reserved, you know, really enjoys math and science, and just kind of started looking at the website and just seeing what all Clayton Bradley had to offer, and just thought that this could be potentially a good fit for him.
Yeah.
And so this past fall break, we came by, got a tour, and I'm being honest, I wasn't really hoping to like it as much as I did, because I was like, how are we going to do this? But we'll make it work. You know, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. Yeah. But we came, got the tour. The things I was expecting, great academics, like, not a question. But it was just that other, like, social-emotional piece that I was really impressed with the family gatherings, the student ambassadors, the lifelong guidelines and life skills. Like, that was just made a counselor heart happy, I guess is the best way to say it. So we ended up putting in his application after that and had that done, ready to go. And he came for a shadow day late January. And the weekend before, a friend who had actually applied for the position, knowing that there was an open spot here as the counselor friend of mine, she just let me know. She's like, hey, I think you should apply for this job. I was in this interview and they kept asking me these questions and I kept thinking about you the entire time.
Oh, wow.
She's like, I just think it'd be a great fit for you. And at the time, she didn't know that we had applied for my son to come here.
Oh, wow.
So things were definitely at work.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no, I'm good. I love my job. I'm happy where I am. But I was like, yeah, there's something about it. I feel like I need to apply. And so I did that weekend. And Monday morning, I got an email from Sarah asking me to come in. And then I was like, well, I'm actually going to be on campus on Tuesday for my son's shadow day. So
there
I stopped
go.
In and met her. And
the rest is history.
The history
that's
now.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, it's a little bit long, but
no,
yeah.
That's fine. I think it's great. I love listening to our staff talk about, you know, how they ended up here, because you know, it's a unique environment. Mm-hmm. And in East Tennessee, outside of religious schools, mm-hmm. there's not very many just straight up independent schools
there
that
really
don't have some
kind
of religious affiliation and that sort of thing. And so we're kind of a unique bird in that.
Yeah.
And so when people look at us, you know, they look through that lens of, you know, it's different than public, but it doesn't have a religious connection. And, you know, what are they offering? How are they, mm-hmm. you know, making this thing work? And most of the people that end up on campus have a similar experience as you, going, you know, man, I fell in love with it. You know, I walked through and I saw the things that our students were doing, listening to their excitement. When you walk in our classrooms, like you mentioned, even our classroom ambassadors,
mm-hmm.
And you know, hearing them talk about what they're learning and what they're doing with their teachers and the projects they're working on, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, it that you can see that excitement of learning.
Yes, you can.
And I love seeing that as I walk around too, as I walk in and out of rooms. And so I think that's an easy sell. I think mm-hmm. our students mm-hmm. kind of sell it.
They do.
You know, way more than I could.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you've never been on campus, you need to schedule a visit, because I don't have another word. Magical is tough, because it's not like it's not repeatable by others,
right.
But it's a special environment where
really
kids are really given that opportunity to be who they are and excel and recognize their voice while recognizing someone else's voice,
mm-hmm.
and learning that important ability to collaborate and kind of get past differences if we have differences, and still figure out how to mm-hmm. you know, make ourselves heard,
mm-hmm.
But in a safe way.
Yes.
And so that's cool hearing that from you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so as you're looking at upper school, and so when we say upper school, we're talking about 6th through 12th grade,
right.
guidance counseling. There's a lot that's going on from 6th grade to 12th grade.
Like, I'm learning that, yeah.
That's a pretty big gap. And most of your experience comes from
high school
where you came from. So
yeah.
What are you, when you're looking at, you know, and you've, of course, you've only been doing the job now for a couple weeks. But what are you kind of looking forward to, excited about, as mm-hmm. you're dealing with this age group, from all of the, you know, stuff that goes on in middle school and the hormones
mm-hmm.
and the friends?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about on the podcast that as kids are moving through school, in elementary school, especially early elementary school, it's they want to know that their teacher likes them.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and that becomes a very important thing. If my teacher likes me, I can get along and
mm-hmm.
I can do a lot of things. As they start getting into upper elementary, you know, they start to realize there's other bodies in the room, you know, and so they start to, the peers start to have a little bit more importance.
Yeah.
By the time they get to middle school, it really is all about, do my friends like me, way more than whether they care about whether their teachers like them. They still want their teachers to like them. They still want maybe to do well, but it's all about that friend network.
Sure, yeah.
And then you get into high school, that friend network doesn't you know, become less, but you also now get the pressure of like, what are you going to do when you graduate? Like, that's
growing the maturity.
You can see that so much on their face whenever you ask them that. And I love, you know, you go around, you're like, well, what are you wanting to do when you, you know, when you graduate? And, you know, the, you get those blank stares of like, I don't even want to think about that right now. You know, the pressure of this, like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
But so you get a lot of this transition, but in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, that middle school, you get a lot of that friend and peer interaction and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then high school, you get this, like, how am I going to either go to college,
college career,
you know, what career am I going to choose, or am I going to go in the military, or whatever may be the case. And we just try to support kids in whatever that choice is.
Right, yeah.
So what are you looking at with all of that? Like, what are you excited about, or what are you looking forward to?
Honestly, I'm just still absorbing everything, I think, and just enjoying it. And just one of my first days was hearing from Miss Bradley the story of how Clayton Bradley came to be. And that was just the coolest story. I was just more confirmation to me that I'm where I'm supposed to be, if that makes sense. But also learning that everything here, the foundation is relationships. And again, love that course as a counselor. Just love that so much. And so I'm just really, you know, diving into that and just trying to build those relationships with all the kids.
Yeah.
Just wanting to get them to know where, who they are and, you know, what they're about and, like, what are their dreams? What do they want to do? You know, and I know that's going to be very fluid for many years probably. I mean, just my own personal experience. I know it took me a while to figure it out. And and that's what I feel like partly why I became a counselor is just to encourage that. Like, it's great, let's have a plan, let's move towards a plan, but it's okay if the plan changes or takes a detour, you know.
Yeah,
we're always just working towards a goal, right? And then but yeah, it's all gonna be okay. Like, we're, if we're working towards something, it's gonna be all right.
We can get through it.
Yeah,
exactly. So when you're looking past at the past like two and a half weeks at this point, what are some of the things that you have done to kind of introduce yourself to students and start to build those relationships? Because we don't have a time that all the students necessarily come to see the guidance counselor.
Right, yes.
So how are you kind of making those connections and getting out and interacting?
So the first few days, Sarah, Ms. Farmer, and I, we went around to each class group and just kind of did a little presentation. Hers was more so on, like, policies, procedures, the, the, you know, the right and wrong of things to do, I guess. And just had just a quick little intro like I did earlier here, and just kind of introducing myself, telling a little about myself, and just hoping to make some connections and things like that. Then specifically with middle school, they had the Blaze Retreat that first week, and I was fortunate enough to kind of see some of that. It was, I really enjoyed the sorting.
Big deal.
It was a big deal, and it was really exciting to see them get excited. So that was fun. And then later in that week, I guess it was a couple days, but you know, just helping out where I could. And I remember I had to go in Miss White Cotton's room and help just kind of manage kids and just kind of, I mean, just being around them. It doesn't, they're very open, and like, they're just like, can I do this? Da, da, da. Like, okay, sure. Just figuring things out. But yeah, just being around them, I think, helps. And, you know, and then Miss Farmer and I were here for our curriculum nights with the high school and middle school, trying to meet families and see people. And then the upperclassmen, I don't really have to do a whole lot of nagging to see them. They are coming because they have questions about college, dual enrollment, all the things that are going on here with being schedule and, changes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if people that have not worked in a high school setting might not know, your first week and a half, you actually mentioned a ton of stuff that you've done, when I know that you've also spent a ton of time probably looking at schedules.
I have, yes.
Because that's a, you know, it's it's unique. And even in a small setting, we don't have, you know, the larger schedule that some of the bigger high schools, one of the ones I worked at and the one you worked at as well, of, you know, there's still, it's amazing how many schedule changes and tweaks and stuff that has to be done. You helped me with my own child's schedule before school started. So we luckily got it figured before that first day of class. But, you know, that also takes up a good bit of time.
Yeah, at the beginning, that's what I'm used to. I mean, that's what it is, you know, public or private. It doesn't matter. Kids are all kids, and they find out who's in their classes or not in their classes. And you know, want to make some changes or whatever.
And yeah. And people that have never looked at the schedule might not understand. Yeah, you know, we have some classes. Being a small school, we have mm-hmm. some classes that it's only offered once.
Right. Yeah, that you was know. An adjustment for sure. Just kind of wrapping my brain around how the schedule is here and yeah. Knowing what's offered when and things
so,
like
you
that.
Know,
yeah.
That conversation then with a kid of saying like, how important is this class to you? Because right. this class is going to set off a whole cascade of other classes.
Yes, exactly. There is a bit of a snowball effect yeah. or dominoes, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just get into this one class. It's also going to take you and switch you in all of your right. possible English and math mm-hmm. and history. And so that can be a challenge. So I have helped do the schedule here before in the mm-hmm. past. I was really glad to hand that off and not be a part of that again. I remember what goes into it. And
yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot, and there's a lot of moving parts and pieces, and it's sad because you also can't make everybody happy.
This is true, unfortunately. You know, I mean, and of course, I want to do as much as I can to help because I hate that because I want to yeah. give kids what they want and because I want them to be happy and successful in those classes. But yeah, sometimes there are hard decisions that have to be made, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so as a guidance counselor, you also take on some other roles at the school of, for instance, helping train our ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
You also, we've just went through at least an initial round of the Amazing Shake.
Yes.
That the guidance counselors, both Kim and yourself, help with. I don't know how
we
much
helped
Kim
with
just
it.
Kind of led that this year.
So we're kind of changing things up a little bit. That was from Ms. Farmer. But yes, so first round of Amazing Shake for the middle school was yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
So they did that in their ELA classes. So, yeah. And they kind of revamped it to make it more, I don't know, fun and appropriate, I guess, for yeah. what they're doing in class. So, so yes. And then advisories for the high school did it last Wednesday. And so they did that and got their training. And then from there, they've been sent applications to be student diplomats here. And that's, I'm going to have a little more of a hand in that.
Yep.
We're going to do some training hopefully next week, I think. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But to those that are really going to be out and about and representing CBA.
Absolutely.
In a more positive way. Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, it's interesting all the things the guidance counselor is involved in with that.
Yeah.
And then one of the more important things that the guidance counselor is also involved in is our restorative practice training. And
yes.
I know that Ms. Farmer's been working with you on some of that. And you guys actually yes. just talked to the upper, well, both groups talked to their teachers about
yeah.
Restorative practice stuff
open
last
lower school, yeah.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're involved in that. And so when you have looked at restorative practice and, mm-hmm. and done some of the training and stuff there,
mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts with that and how that fits with kind of who we are and what we're trying to be?
Sure, yeah. So, well, everything goes back to relationships here, and that's, I think, what restorative practices is based off of. So I am still learning, but a lot of it as a counselor makes sense to me,
yeah.
especially on the end where things start to get a little more outside of the teacher realm, so to speak,
yeah.
and where we can do more of that the restoring part of it. So things I was already doing but not really realizing it and just doing it in a more organized fashion.
Yeah.
So at least my piece of it. And then I can't wait to get into the classrooms and really see how teachers are teach, first of all, but then also how they're implementing some of these restorative practices as well. So that's the part I feel like I need more hands-on with.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I am excited for it because I do see the benefits of it. I see how, because as we say, it takes a village. And
yeah.
I think everyone being on the same page when it comes to that, that helps. And so, you know, that makes what restorative practices work and
yeah.
in the long run. So
well, and I like that the goal is recognizing mm-hmm. in whatever instance may have occurred, the goal is recognizing your impact to the community.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it helps to, you know, continue to solidify that conversation we've had of you're part of something bigger than
yes,
yourself.
Yes, there's a ripple effect.
And, you know, if you're not treating people right, we say this every Wednesday morning, treat people right and do the right thing, but
right.
if you're not treating people right, that has an effect on the whole community. And it we really value that, like, absence of threat in the classroom
right.
and that safe space for learning where we can get kids into their frontal lobe, and we talk about those with brain research. And if you recognize the things that you do and who you are really has a big impact on your community, then that's part of that, like, you helping create that safe space and you mm-hmm. helping create that community in your classroom. And if you're creating it and a part of it, then you don't want to see it damaged.
Yes.
And so I love seeing that element of mm-hmm. people recognizing, like, this isn't just a place I go to school. Like, this is part of the community that I exist in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can either affect it positively or negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully people choose to have that positive effect and not negative effect.
Yes.
And when we have those negative effects, we work through it.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Those relationships then really kick in. And
because there's always going to be conflict. We got to learn how to deal with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting. When you looked at the process of coming on board as a new employee, and of course we did New Teacher Academy, which you're a part of, even though it's called New Teacher Academy, it's really like New Employee Academy, I guess.
Yeah.
You are set up with a mentor.
Yes.
And in your case, that's Kim. And of course, Sarah, as the principal, is always working with you. But what is that process like coming into a new space? And I helped design the process, so it's okay.
Oh, okay.
No pressure. Help design it. But, you know, I never experienced it as a new employee myself.
Okay.
So how was that process? And then leading into that first week of everybody's back. And of course, you had been working with Sarah some throughout the summer, so it wasn't completely new.
Yeah, for you. I came in the last couple of days, and then Sarah was here that an additional week after students were here. So I came in several days just to kind of start jumping in and get my feet wet, so to speak. So if I'm being honest, that new teacher training days are kind of a blur.
Yeah.
There's so much has happened. But I do remember Miss Bradley coming in and talking to us. Like, that was, I think, what stood out to me the most the first day, and just hearing from her and hearing her heart.
Yeah.
That was really key. Because a lot of it I kind of had heard through, like, either the interview process or coming in at the end of the school year. But just kind of jumping in, and like, I was like, okay, we got this.
Well, and those people that are not teachers might not recognize that first week of professional development too.
Yeah.
And we do the New Teacher Academy because we know the overwhelming stuff that's going to happen the following
week. It's just the practical things, like, you know, who do you go to for this? What do you need to do in order to make this happen? And just like things you don't think about till you're just in the midst of it. So it was nice to know, like, okay, I've got my handbook here, I know where to go look at least, or whoever, you know, or if I got my mentors to talk to figure things out.
And that's really one of the goals of it, is just to set you up with a couple of faces to say, here are some people to go to, like, when this thing really kicks off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember I joke about the first day I had kids as a teacher. You know, I was teaching ninth grade, and they give you all these kids as a homeroom teacher. You know, I'm there to be a science teacher, but you have to do this homeroom teacher. And the first day, everybody comes to homeroom, and all the kids are looking at you. And it was a freshman, so they're all new to the place. I'm new to the place. And then one of the very first things I look down the agenda is give a tour.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
I don't know anything else.
I don't know that I've even had a tour of this facility myself. Like, I was hired to be a science teacher. I was setting up my science room. I wasn't paying attention necessarily to the rest of the school. And so I remember kind of walking through that first tour going, this is probably not great. Hopefully I'm not telling these kids
the
wrong
thing.
That's
probably what was added into the new teacher training.
So on the new teacher training, you know, we added stuff in like a tour.
Because although you had done
a tour through your interview process and even with your student, you still look at it differently whenever
you're
an employee. And it's like, oh, that is something I need to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I get that, but that's not really a space I'm going to interact with.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think I had gone over the bridge until that time. Like, I'd come to the upper school or I'd come to the lower school, but I never done the bridge. You know, like, so you're like, oh, okay.
So it's, you know, we try to throw in some stuff. So you're at least, you know, as you're drinking from the water hose, or fire hose, I guess, really, the next week, it's maybe you have some support.
Because I definitely am.
That's awesome. Well, I just want to thank you for sitting down and just talking a little bit about who you are, introducing yourself some to the audience. And we will obviously do more of these down the road as we talk about different components of the counseling office and different things that are going on with our students that the podcast listeners might want to know. And so we'll bring you back on in the future.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This has been The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can visit us on our webpage, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media sites at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.